the stolen and perverted writings of Homer and Ovid, of Plato and Cicero, which all men ought to condemn, are set up by artifice against the sublime of the Bible. But when the new age is at leisure to pronounce, all will be set right, and those grand works of the more ancient, unconsciously and professedly inspired men will hold their proper rank, and the daughters of memory shall become the daughters of inspiration. Shakespeare and Milton were both curbed by the general malady and infection from the silly Greek and Latin slaves of the sword. Rouse up, O young men of the new age! Set your foreheads against the ignorant hirelings. For we have hirelings in the camp, the court, and the university, who would, if they could, for ever depress mental and prolong corporeal war. Painters, on you I call, sculptors, architects, suffer not the fashionable fools to depress your powers by the prices they pretend to give for contemptible works, or the expensive advertising boasts that they make of such works. Believe Christ and his apostles that there is a class of men whose whole delight is in destroying. We do not want either Greek or Roman models, if we are but just and true to our own imaginations, those worlds of eternity, in which we shall live for ever, in Jesus our Lord. And did those feet, in ancient time, walk upon England's mountains green? And was the Holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem builded here among these dark satanic mills? Bring me my bow of burning gold, bring me my arrows of desire, bring me my spear, O clouds unfold, bring me my chariot of fire. I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall the sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land. Would to God that all the Lord's people were prophets. Numbers, 11th chapter, 29th verse. Milton, Book the First. Daughters of Beulah, muses who inspire the poet's song, record the journey of immortal Milton through your realms of terror and mild moony lustre in soft sexual delusions of varied beauty, to delight the wanderer and repose his burning thirst and freezing hunger. Come into my hand by your mild power, descending down the nerves of my right arm from out the portals of my brain, whereby your ministry, the eternal great humanity divine, planted his paradise, and in it caused the spectres of the dead to take sweet forms in likeness of himself. Tell also of the false tongue, vegetated beneath your land of shadows, of its sacrifices and its offerings, even till Jesus, the image of the invisible God, became its prey, a curse, an offering and an atonement for death eternal, in the heavens of Albion, and before the gates of Jerusalem his emanation, in the heavens beneath Beulah. Say first, what moved Milton, who walked about in eternity 100 years, pondering the intricate mazes of providence, unhappy though in heaven? He obeyed, he murmured not. He was silent, viewing his sixfold emanation scattered through the deep in torment. To go into the deep, her to redeem, and himself to perish? What cause at length moved Milton to this unexampled deed? A bard's prophetic song. For sitting at eternal tables, terrific among the sons of Albion, in chorus solemn and loud, a bard broke forth. All sat attentive to the awful man. Mark well my words, they are of your eternal salvation. Three classes are created by the hammer of Los, and woven by Enitharmon's looms, when Albion was slain upon his mountains, and in his tent, through envy of living form, even of the divine vision, and of the sports of wisdom in the human imagination, which is the divine body of the Lord Jesus, blessed for ever. Mark well my words, they are of your eternal salvation. Your Urizen lay in darkness and solitude, in chains of the mind locked up. Los seized his hammer and tongs. He laboured at his resolute anvil among indefinite druid rocks and snows of doubt and reasoning.